Last week we introduced the subject of ministry, and I'd like us to, I need that mic, the mobile mic. I need a mic so that they can tell us what you learned last week concerning ministry before we proceed. Let's do that quickly in the next 10, 15 minutes max. Starting with the man with the mic. It's very good to hold the mic so that we can avoid you later. Oh yeah, so tell us, what did you learn concerning ministry last week, Sunday? You can kneel down if you want to answer, you can then just answer.
Ministry is not...
Give us volume, please. I don't think that is my kind of volume.
Ministry is not all about being a pastor.
Ministry is not all about being a pastor. He's chosen a very easy one. That's good. Genie?
Ministry...
That man who's climbing up, just stay near Genie because you're going to take the microphone. Yes?
Ministry is done by men, but done, absolutely done by the people.
Ministry...
is carried out.
That one is so crucial. Hit it on the head. Ministry is carried out by men, but
done by the Spirit,
but done by the Spirit of God in men. Okay. Wait, what is the implication? Give it to Moses. What is the implication of that statement? That ministry is done by men, but carried out by the Holy Spirit which is in them. What does that imply for the man? Who can do ministry?
The man in the Spirit.
The man in the Spirit. Okay, we'll take that. What did you learn?
I learned that if one thing called ministry, one is prepared.
There is a preparation. We said ministry has two parts. What are the two parts?
Preparation and serving.
Preparation and serving. Okay. Give to Tango. Yes, sir.
I learned that there are two aspects of ministry.
Okay.
Ministry of the world. Ministry of works.
Ministry of the word and ministry of works. Nika.
Ministry is doing exactly what God wants you to do.
Those were the definitions, various definitions we were talking about. What? There were some issues that we raised in the course of the study. What is ministry? We tried to define ministry, right? And we said ministry is service. What else is ministry? He has already said it. He has categorized them. I'm asking you to break it down now.
Service and what?
No. Service is an aspect of ministry. What else? Just give me one other definition of ministry, one other word that means ministry. Acts chapter 6 verse 1. Read it very quickly. Acts chapter 6 verse 1. Just verse 1 alone. Acts chapter 6 verse 1.
And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Christians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration.
So what is ministry there? What other word did we find to represent daily ministration? Okay, what was that daily ministration? What were they doing?
Activities.
What activities?
Preaching.
No. What were they were murmuring about something. What were they murmuring about? And we're asking somebody, when we give you now, you will not say anything. Let the fellow who is on the hot seat answer. No, I'm not asking you. I'm asking somebody, one person. Just wait. When we get to your turn now, I hope you will answer with speed. Daily ministration means, what were they doing? Daily ministration, what were they doing with the widows that caused the murmuring? What were the widows not getting?
They were not involved, just like the disciples.
No. Read it again. Slowly now.
And
as the disciples multiplied.
And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose the murmuring of the Christians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in daily ministration.
So what was that daily ministration? What do widows need?
Attention.
No. You see a widow, what would you give to a widow? Attention.
Money too.
So what do we call that? What did we call that? Who has another translation that told us what that daily ministration means? There's another translation that gave us a meaning for that. I just want the meaning for daily ministration. There's another translation that has another word. What does it have?
Disciple.
Daily distribution of food.
Daily distribution of food. So what is ministry? Give it to Nneka now. What is ministry?
This context might mean daily distribution of
food. It means the distribution of food. Okay, good. Give to mommy. Give to mommy. Yes, ma'am.
Is it still a one? Or
No. What did you learn? Yes, last week, Sunday.
I learned that for you to go into ministry, you cannot do it alone. You will do it in conjunction with the Holy Spirit.
We have said that.
And that you need permission, approval.
From?
From maybe a senior pastor.
We didn't say that.
No, we discussed that.
No way, I never said that.
Six said.
I didn't say it. Okay. Did I say anything like that? I didn't say it. We didn't talk about that at all. We haven't even reached that place of who is permitting who to do ministry. So what was it that we said? Give to Edith, who was quick to answer the other time. We are coming back to mommy, because she hasn't said anything yet.
Last Sunday I learned that the ministry, the word of God is important in every answer. The word of God has to come forth in the ministry.
Okay, the word of God is important. Okay, we'll take that. Yes, now if you know how to do evil. Is mommy ready? Okay, let's go to Gillis. He will not tell us that he came for dedication, so he didn't hear. What is ministry?
Ministry means to assist.
To assist the needy. Beautiful, beautiful. Give to Mrs. Guinness. You are welcome back, by the way. We have missed you a long time.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Our brother rightly said that the ministry is divided into two aspects, which is the ministry.
We don't want you to repeat what somebody else has said. We said so many things.
And the ministry, like we have the ministry of the world, which is, for example, the prophet.
Good. Prophecy is ministry. Give to David.
For me, and I learned that for me to be in ministry, you must be a man of great ability.
We didn't discuss that. We have not discussed that.
Yes. I learned that.
I know you learned that. Also, we didn't discuss it. What we discussed? We are going to discuss that one.
Yeah. Also, the aspect of being involved in ministry, you must be a man of prayer.
We didn't discuss that.
Then I learned that for you to be in ministry also, you must continually be in prayer. You must continually be in prayer and you must be full of faith.
We didn't discuss all those ones.
We were talking of service and work.
No, that's extra study. You did extra study.
Okay.
What we studied, in case somebody wasn't here and the person wants to know what we did, what was it that we did? We said at the beginning that ministry consists of two crucial things: preparation and the operation or the service, right? And that ministry has two arms: ministry of the word and ministry of works. And then we said that when we talk of works, we're talking of practical service, and that there are many things that fall under that practical service. What are these things now? We mentioned distribution of food, or another word we used was serving tables. Remember that? We talked about aid. Assistance, like Gillis told us, is ministry. What else is ministry? Actually, we didn't, to be fair to you, we didn't conclude it. So let's conclude that part. So David, you read for us Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8.
Romans chapter 12.
6 to 8.
6 to 8. 6. Having done gifts, different according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy and perform to our faith. Or ministry, let us give it to our minister. He will teach it in teaching. He will absorb in tribulation. He will give with liberality. He will live with diligence. He will show mercy with charity.
So what is ministry now? From those three verses you read, what is ministry? There are so many things that's ministry there.
Teaching.
Okay. Give the mic to somebody. Give the mic now to Mrs. Gillis. She will now tell us what is ministry now from what we've read. There are many things that's ministry there. You can sit down, don't worry, you can sit down.
From where we read, we saw prophecy.
Prophecy, okay, you mentioned that before, right? Yes. Okay, prophecy.
We saw teaching.
Give to God.
Prophecy.
We are talking about prophecy. From what we have just read, we've read many things that's ministry. What other things are ministry from what we read? Just look at the Bible. Don't think it's in the Bible. Romans 12, 6 to 8. We were not following what the Bible says. The answer is all over that place. Ministry is prophecy, ministry is practical service, or ministry in what we have declared, ministry is teaching, Exhortation. Ministry is exhortation. What is exhortation? I'm not asking you, I'm asking somebody. What is exhortation?
Exhortation means
that you should. No, no. Exhort, when you exhort somebody, what are you doing? Okay, now, it's open to
everybody.
Eh? No. Encourage. Encourage. How can you encourage somebody? Give to Ezra. How do you encourage somebody?
Encourage somebody by giving him the word of God. The word of God.
Giving him the word of God. In what way do you encourage the word of God?
Through many examples.
Okay, give me an example. Give me a practical example of exhortation.
The feeding of the 5,000 people.
No, that's not an exhortation. For example, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about now. I come to you. I say, Ezra, times are hard. You know, I've come to tell you something. What can you do for me now? What are the things you can do for me now?
I'll give you hope.
Eh? No, wait, Ezra.
I'll give you hope. Do that.
You will give me hope. How do you do that now? That's an exhortation. It's like counseling. It's like encouragement. It doesn't mean you have to stand here before you exhort him. Do you understand? Ah, Ezra, things are hard. My brother, stop making such a statement. The Bible says, for the child of God, what are you doing now? Mm-hmm. You're exhorting him. You're exhorting him to stop using that kind of negative word. He said, no, my brother, times may be hard, but God is able. Times may be hard, but those who know their God will be strong and they will do exploits. That's exhortation. Was there somebody in the Bible that was known for exhortation? And who can tell me who that in the New Testament? Let's limit ourselves to the New Testament. In fact, they gave him a name. Who? Who is that? No? Barnabas. He was called the son of encouragement. He was known to be someone. I mean, that somebody who was encouraging. What other way can you exhort that brother who has come to say times are hard? Yes? By giving. So do you understand what we're talking of now? Even though we have mentioned exhortation, you have given him a word, you can also give him substance to deal with the situation as an immediate thing. Beautiful. What else can we discover to be, if it wants to answer now?
I'm praying with the brother in prayer.
Okay, that's part of exhortation. Nah. I want us to focus on what we've looked at in Romans 12, 6 to 8. Look at what it said now. We're going down the line. Prophecy, if your gift is prophecy, prophesy. If it is service, serve. If it is teaching, teach. If it is exhortation, exhort. What else is there now? If it is giving or acts of mercy, give. What else?
Sharing the person of
how do you cheer the person up?
Cheer the person up with the word of God.
Exhortation. Give another word there. Give another one there.
And showing mercy.
Give another one there.
By showing love.
Give another one there.
Diligently.
No. What do you do diligently?
By showing the person love.
No. There's something that says do it with diligence. He that ruleth, he that leads administration is ministry. So we came to one conclusion that ministry is for who is ministry for now?
For others.
Who is for ministry? Who is ministry for? All believers are to be involved in ministry. But she has made a very crucial point. Ministry is what we do for someone else. You don't minister to yourself. You minister to other people. Right? Now, we said something very critical about ministry. When we're talking about serving other people, there was something very crucial that we said. What was it? Everybody has drawn a blank. No. We read Matthew 25, 31 to the end when we spoke about that. You saw me in prison and you visited me. So what did we say about ministry when you are ministering to someone else? You are ministering to who?
Jesus.
To the Lord. Ministry ultimately is to who? It's to God. Ultimately, we minister to God. Is there something else that we said that probably I've forgotten? I thought people were taking notes now. So what were you writing in those books when I saw you writing things? Yes, David.
Yes, sir. I have a question.
Okay.
I would like to ask, is it possible for someone to be a believer? Because chapter 12 in Romans tells us this idea. Is it possible to be one to be without the Holy Spirit?
It's not possible. It is practically impossible. In fact, if I'm to use the Portable language, it is impossible. It can never happen. The moment you become a child of the living God, it is a gift that is bestowed in you. It is given to you. It is in the proportion of faith, but it is given to you. Remember the parable of the talents. One man got five, one man got two, one man got one. It is not about how many you got. The number has to do with the proportion of faith. Now, if you read verse 6, read verse 6 again. What does it say?
Having then gifts.
Having then gifts. Number one, ministry is a gift. Right? Differing, what do you do? Go on.
According to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them.
Let us do what?
Use them.
The gifts of ministry must be used. That was the problem of the guy with one talent. He didn't use it. Every time you use the gift of ministry, which means you apply that gift of ministry, maybe to minister to someone as unto the Lord and things like that, something happens to that gift of ministry. What happens? It increases. It increases. And whenever you don't use it, what happens? It diminishes. It decays. Like the man who planted, who went to bury the thing inside the soil. God said, you should have given it to someone else. Given it to the bankers. They know what to do with it. Praise the name of the Lord. I believe we mentioned something like singing. Did we mention something like singing? Let's open to 1 Corinthians. We've not said what we want to do today. We just want to look at one or two scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And let me get the verse. Verse 26. Who's reading for us? 1 Corinthians 14, 26.
How then is it? How is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a song, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification.
Good. So, what is ministry from what we've read there? Singing is a ministry. What else?
Teaching.
Get
a song.
Good. So, what should we do? What do we expect when we come to church? Based on that verse of scripture. Wait. Give Janine the microphone. What do we expect when we come to church?
Praising God with songs, the teaching of the word of God.
Yes, but you have not captured the answer I'm looking for. You give me facts. For one that she has not even spoken. Bring the mic to her. I'm going to do speak with the microphone. I didn't hear you speak. Into the mic. Yes.
When we come to church, everybody should be prepared.
Everybody should be prepared to minister in what? Give her the mic. We have not done that. Minister in what?
Minister in the various things.
Like singing.
Singing, praying, exhortation.
Prayer is not in the, okay. We're talking of individual activities now.
Singing. Praying. Giving. All the activities that
we just read something there. What did it say? Tell us. Look at what it's saying there.
Romans chapter 4.
No, not Romans. 1 Corinthians 14. 26 says something.
Okay, speaking in tongues.
How do you minister to someone else speaking in tongues?
You have interpretation.
No, how do you minister when you say speaking in tongues? How do I minister to the body or to salvation, for example, speaking in tongues in church?
What if I speak in tongues? I'm edifying myself. I'm building myself up to be able to.
So basically, in speaking in tongues, I'm not building salvation up.
No.
I'm building myself up. But is it possible to build salvation up for any other person speaking in tongues?
Yes.
How?
When we are praying, when we are speaking in tongues. Oh.
Give him. Let me hear. How? No. No. How do I minister to salvation? For example. By speaking in tongues.
When I'm praying for salvation, in the spirit.
No.
when somebody speaks in tongues, another interprets.
Find the interpretation of that tongue. That's the only time I'm ministering to someone else. But if I'm just speaking in tongues, what am I doing? I'm ministering to myself. And we don't call that ministry. We call that self-edification. But the minute I'm speaking in tongues, let's assume I just, like we're all talking now, somebody just jumped up, okay, we'll keep quiet and be watching what he says. When he finishes, what do we expect from him now?
English.
And for those of us who speak English, what are you saying? So, the Bible now says, therefore, those of us with the gift of speaking in tongues should also do what? Pray for the gift of interpretation. Because that interpretation is actually prophecy. And what is it called prophecy? Speaking forth. So I have spoken in tongues. It means that, number one, you know when I'm speaking in tongues, what am I doing? I'm communicating with who?
God.
With God. So, as I broke forth in tongues, it meant that God broke forth through me and was saying something. So now we recognize that God is speaking. But we don't know what he has said. We now need what? An interpreter. Now, paradventure, there's no interpreter there. We must rely on you to give an interpretation. Right? Now, let me just put this because it's something important. So, I spoke in tongues, then I gave an interpretation. Should we all accept that interpretation?
No.
Why not?
There must be a witness. You must not accept it. There should be a witness. One or two witnesses.
There must be one or two witnesses. How do we get those witnesses?
I speak of God. Yes. Somebody should bear witness. Yes.
I have spoken in tongues. I have given an interpretation. What should we expect next? We should expect somebody else.
Confirm.
To confirm. Let's assume that I spoke in tongues. I gave the interpretation. My wife now gets up and gives the confirmation. Should we accept it?
No.
Why shouldn't we accept it?
Not really.
It's questionable.
Mm-hmm.
She might also want to say that let me cover the shame of my husband. I don't think what is right there. Because we need a second witness. Thus indeed the Lord spoke and we have a problem. That is one of the reasons why we have problems with tongues and interpretation of tongues in the church. Because a lot of people have actually abused it. They've misused it. They stationed people in corners of the church. One person will just stand in the middle and begin to, it's talking rubbish. One person at the other time will just get up and give interpretation. All has been orchestrated. I've been in a meeting like that. Where somebody just got up, another person got up. Before we know something, they had colluded before the meeting. This is how we are going to do it. And it was to force everybody to agree to do something. So let's even assume that I've spoken in tongues, I've given interpretation, my wife has backed it up. There's one final thing that will make you accept or reject it. What is that final thing? Agrees with the written word. There's something else after the written word.
The Spirit of God must bear witness.
There must be a witness in you. There must be a witness in you that what has been said and interpreted is so. Because a lot of people have subjected the word of God to private interpretation. And it makes sense that you must be able to bear witness within you. There must be a witness of the Spirit within you. Okay, let's move on to what we want to look at today. Acts chapter 6. Let's read from verse 2 now. Then the 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples and said, it would not be right for us to give up preaching about God to handle financial matters. I'm reading the HCSB. They consider it financial matters. Why? Because they were using money to buy those things for the widows. Therefore, brothers, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we can appoint to this duty. I think the King James says to this business. You remember I told you to note some of those words, right? What business are we talking about here now? The business of serving, of distribution, right? Now, some people have said, such is business. Is this the kind of business we're talking about?
No.
What are we referring to as this business now?
Ministry.
This ministry, this activity, this consciousness, this duty. We're not saying that it's a business where we do buying and selling and make money. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking of a religious duty. Praise the name of the Lord. That reminds me, there was something that we said last week that nobody has mentioned. You say? I can't hear you. Yes, James chapter 1 verse 25, that tells us that true pure and undefiled religion is what? That we visit orphans and widows and keep ourselves unspotted in the world. So let's assume I visit widows and I visit orphans, but there are spots all over my life. Is that pure and undefiled religion?
No.
Okay, let's continue. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the preaching ministry. Let's pause. We have said last week that ministry involves men, right? Ministry is done by who? By men. But then, what they are doing is being done by the Holy Spirit who is in them, right? And we've said that ministry involves how many people now? All believers. But should all believers be immediately involved in ministry?
No.
Why do you say no? Why do you say no?
Because we have to be trained.
Is there a scripture that backs your no up? I want us to start speaking to one another.
I don't know exactly where, but there's a scripture.
What does it say?
We should not put a novice.
Don't place a novice
in the office.
In an office. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's read that. 1 Timothy chapter 3, please. Let me read from verse 8. He's talking about deacons here. And that word deacon means minister or servant. That's actually what the word deacon means. Deacons, likewise, should be worthy of respect, not hypocritical, not drinking a lot of wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and they should also be tested first. If they prove blameless, then they can serve as deacons. That's number one. If we go backwards, go to chapter 3, the same chapter 3, verse 6. Here, speaking about bishop, he says, he must not be a new convert, or he might become conceited and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Is that your Bible? So we find that even though we are all born again, even though all believers are to be involved in ministry, not all believers should be involved in ministry immediately. Ministry requires a level of maturity. Now, there are some things that we do in ministry, which is part of the preparation. Do you understand? That is not ministry, even though we may call it ministry. For example, what Nneka did for us today is what now? Eh? But is that really ministry? It's preparation. We're preparing her because she will do more of that over time. Do you understand what we're saying now? She's been prepared. There was a time when Danye also was like jelly when she handled the mic. Do you understand that? But over time, with use, remember we read something in Romans chapter 12, verse 6 concerning ministry. He said it's a gift. And anybody who has that gift, what should the fellow do? Use it, employ it. One of the few words that mean ministry or connote ministry is employment. Employment in divine service. Making yourself useful in divine service. So having said all of these things that ministry is, and the fact that ministry is to be done by men, there is a necessary qualification of these people who should be involved in ministry. And when the apostles were discussing this in Acts chapter 6, concerning the men who should be appointed to do this business, they leveled, how many qualifications did they state there? Huh? I think they stated 5. But by the time you go further, when one of them was mentioned, one or two others were stated. Let's look at the things they stated. They said, therefore, brothers, select from among you 7 men of, number one is what?
Good reputation.
Number two?
Full of the Holy Spirit.
Number three. Number four. Let's go to verse 5. Verse 5 says, the proposal pleased the whole company, so they chose who?
Stephen.
A man full of what?
Faith.
So, what are the foundational qualifications that we need for ministry? Number one. Before that. What's the number one thing? You must be born again. Number two. It's not there. No, number two is not there. You must be sanctified. What's another word that we use for sanctification here? No. You must die to the flesh. Why is it important that the person die to the flesh? Remember, why is it important that he's born again? Eh? He can't. Carnality, that is the second one. Why must he be born again? No. We're talking of being born again. I was not talking of dying to the flesh. You must be a child of God to be able to serve God. In John chapter 12, chapter 1, verse 12, I think it is. Is it verse 12 or verse 11? He said, he came to his own. I think verse 11 says, he came to his own, and his own rejected him. But as many as what? Received him. And I think we mentioned that word receive is not just a casual receive, it's what? To take him in. As many as took him into their hearts. What did he do? He gave them what? The right, the privilege, the power, the authority to what? To become. To what? When you say someone became something, what does it mean about the person's initial state?
Has been changed.
His initial state has been changed so that you cannot receive Christ and remain the same way. You receive Christ to become the Son of God, which is being born again. And you become the Son of God, which is not according to the will of man. They're not born of the flesh, not according to the will of man or the will of the flesh. It's by the Spirit of God. So we are born again. We are dead to the flesh. Now let's bring these other ones now, because these ones are now sitting very well. What's the third one now? Of good reputation. Of good reputation. When we say somebody is to be of good reputation, what do we mean by that? You say somebody who's trustworthy. Okay. When you say somebody is of good reputation, what does it mean? The person's past. I don't want to use his past. His past and present. Yes, not like past and present. They were saying something. Yes.
Have a good reputation even within unbeliever.
You have crossed the place that I'm outside. When you say somebody has a good reputation, who considers somebody of good reputation?
Outsiders.
Other people. So it's not about I have good reputation. That's not it. But I think the King James says somebody of good reports. Is that not what it says? Who reports him? Who's reporting him? Other people. That's why the disciples said, look for people of good report. So what does that mean? If we're talking of Stephen, there are people who have good report about Stephen. In the church, should we take the report of unbelievers about Stephen? Should we?
Yes, sir.
Joy, we should take. You are sure. Ezra, we should consider it good. So when we say that somebody is to be involved, we want to give somebody a ministry assignment. One of the crucial things is the report we get about that person. Not just amongst us in church, but from unbelievers. Please, where are the places that we can get such a report from?
Our offices.
Offices. Our neighborhood.
Our family.
Family members. Friends.
People outside the church.
What of business people? People who are doing business with you. We must take their report. So when we say that we want somebody to be involved in ministry, we are asking him to be of good report, both in and outside. Read 1 Timothy chapter 3, please. 1 Timothy chapter 3, please. From verse 1, we find it. Who has the mic?
This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, comfortable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all others. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God?
First, go to verse 8.
Likewise, speaking, of the weather, out of the storm, not giving to much one, not giving for money, holding the mystery of the faith in the pure conscience. But let we also be tested, then let them fail of being found blameless.
Okay. Being found what? You find that word blameless. What does it mean when you say somebody is blameless? is without fault. Without fault. Is anybody who is without fault?
No.
Eh? So how do we get such a man who is without fault? Eh? The man must be dead to the flesh. And the man must be yielded to the Holy Spirit. That's the way he's going to be without fault. Because even when you blame him, the fact that you say he's blameless does not mean that people will not blame him. But if he is doing it by the Spirit of God, then he is blameless. Do you understand that? So this man must be of good report, must have a good reputation. For example, if I'm considering giving David a ministry assignment, what should I do as the person who wants to give him ministry assignment? I have prayed. So what are the things I should do now? In line with, we want to check David to be of good report. What are the things that you expect me to do? Eh? I make inquiry, good. From who should I make inquiry? Who should be the first person I should make inquiry from? His wife, number one. But can I sit on the report of his wife alone? Why shouldn't I sit on the report of his wife alone? She can be malicious. Why? Because the man may have been ill-treating her, or maybe she doesn't want him to be involved in ministry. Or it could be sweetened because she wants him to be involved in the ministry. So it is not a true preacher, but we get something there. Where else can I go to?
Employer.
Eh? His business associates. Now, do I expect David, for example, to hide his business dealings from me? I'm asking a question now. I want you to understand the implication of being of good reputation. That when you are a Christian, your life is an open book. You see, many of us think that because I'm born again, I must hide myself. I don't want anybody to interfere. You are wasting your time. Your life is an open book. Do you understand what we're saying now? I must be able to come to your office. Unannounced. Unfortunately, we live in a world where people say, before you come, Pastor, call me first. I don't want to call you. I want to come and see you pleasing people. Lying. Say, I swear to God, I bought this thing for 10 naira. Meanwhile, I went to the market with you when you bought it for 5 naira. I'm not saying tell them how much you bought it. Do you understand? This is what I want to sell it. If you don't want to buy it, it's okay. I think it's as simple as that. But why do you have to tell a lie? If you say you want to buy it for some, they sell them for 8 naira there. I don't know how you got it, so come and buy it there. I don't have to sell it. It's as simple as that. So that when people say, for example, I know there's a church, a particular church, I don't know if they still do it, but in those days they specialized, they had a business service, which was started, I think, 6 a.m. or 6:30 a.m. And this was full of business. The question I ask is, were they teaching Christian ethics in business? For example, if David were a garri seller and I go to his garri shop, what do you expect me to be looking at? Looking for in his garri shop? Eh? The quality of the garri, what else should I be looking for? How? How do you mean the way selling it? Is he beating the buttocks of the path? Do you see where we're going to now? Why is it important that David must be of good report? Why is it important? So that the ministry does not come to disrepute. That is the problem we have today. A lot of people are in ministry, in quotes, and there's disrepute in the ministry. We've seen pastors who fight on the main road. We've seen, I've heard of a pastor who was found smoking in their hand. Ordained smoking in their name. I asked the question, did anybody try to vet his report? Did anybody try to check who this fellow is? Or were we just trying to fill an office? Good report, good reputation. I think is it Proverbs 21 or so that says a good name is better than something. Is it Proverbs 21 verse 1? No, it's not 21. 22 verse 1. A good name is to be chosen over great wealth. Favor is greater than silver and gold. We don't choose David because he has money. Do you understand what we're saying now? Did you see wealth in any of the things listed? Even for a bishop, did you see wealth listed? For a deacon, did you see wealth listed? What we're interested in is your report. For example, if we want to make Genye a deaconess, what should I be doing? Genye is a single sister, so what should I be doing? He has no husband. So what should I do? How do I vet her? Speak to her parents, yes. Who else? Eh? Her colleagues in the bank. Should I obtain permission from Diane to go to our office?
No.
Should I tell her I'm going to talk to you and so should I? She shouldn't even know that I'm talking to anybody. Should she get upset if she finds out that I came to make inquiries?
No.
Do you get the point now? I'm trying to practicalize ministry, God's word on ministry to us. There's a tremendous responsibility on the fellow who wants to involve the other person in ministry. Acts chapter 16. Let's read from verse 1. Then he, that is Paul, went on to Derbe and Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a believing Jewish woman, that his father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and where? Spoke highly of him. Where was Timothy? The brother was in Lystra. But his reputation had gone as far as where? Iconium. Let's continue to read. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke highly of him. Paul wanted Timothy to go with him, so he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, since they all knew that his father was a Greek. Paul, at the inception, had decided that Timothy was to go with him, right? So what was the first thing he did? No, besides the circumcision. He got reports about this young man from Lystra. Maybe he went to Iconium and said, Brother Paul, there's one young boy in Lystra. His name is Timothy. A few occasions that the brothers in Lystra sent him here. Oh la la. He the way he's walking, the way he's doing this, the way he's doing that, and so on and so forth. Paul said, this one is going. And then other things were now done on Timothy. But his reputation, that's number one. Because your reputation can scatter everything. Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verse 1. Dead flies make a perfumer's oil ferment and stink. So a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. Let's have that from another translation, like the King James, or the Old King James, or the New King James, or the Old King James, if you have it. Something like dead flies can make the apothecaries. Who's reading for us, please?
Putrefies
the perfumer's ointment
and causes it to give off the foul odor.
Mm-hmm.
So does the little folly for one respected for wisdom and honor.
So does the little folly for one respected for wisdom and honor. This is one of the reasons why we require a good report. You know the smell of perfume? You know how sweet perfume smells? He said, if a dead fly drops inside that perfume, as massive as the jar is, what will it cause? What will it happen? What will happen there? In the same way, a man that we hold in honor, a little folly. How big is this folly? Very big. I'm trying to get us to understand. Remember, we have said that ministry is not just for pastors. How do you understand that? It is for who? All of us. This is expected of every believer. We must be of good report, both inside the church and outside the church. There was one morning I got up early to pray. There's this church in the downslope area where I live. They will just begin to beat drum. I don't know what kind of prayer they are praying. They beat drum from night till morning. So on this particular occasion, as I came out outside the gate and I just stood. And there were people coming out from this church. The first thing, in fact, before I came outside, that was even what drew my attention to come outside of the gate. I heard one woman talking to somebody. She said, if I slap you now, I said, well, let me come and look at you. It was one tiny boy. The boy had been dragged to the vigil, and they are going home. And the woman was busy slapping the boy's head. And I said, this woman just came out from an all-night vigil. A little what? Holy. So what kind of reputation are we looking at? For those of us who are believers, who must be involved in ministry. What kind of reputation? Eh? I want us to break it down. Let's move on. We're talking of specifics now. In his interpersonal relationship, we want to find out how does it relate to other people. What else? You remember that when we're looking at bishops and deacons, one of the things they said about the bishop is what? He must not be greedy. He must not be quarrelsome. Is he quarreling in the yard? Is she quarreling? Is she the one throwing people's buckets when they are queuing the fresh water? Is she the one whose voice is heard the most in the compound? You know the problem that woman is going to give us in the church? Who can tell me the problem she's going to give the church? Eh? A bad name. That is why the Bible tells us to forbear. Swallow it. They've done you wrong. Swallow it. It's a tough one. But the Bible says struggle. Why? Because we are ministers. Do you understand? Some of us are in the habit of looking for those who have been ordained ministers and start pointing, accusing fingers. But that's not it. Forget about those ordinations. Some of those ordinations, heaven didn't sanction it. Your own ordination is the one we are talking about. Which heaven sanctioned? What is your reputation? For example, does this brother, does this sister, does he or she go about borrowing money and is not paying back? Do you see the issue we are dealing with now? How does he relate, if he's a man, how does he relate with girls in the church? Outside the church. Some men behave themselves inside the church. But let them, see them outside. They are busy giving all kinds of girls rides in their cars. Their wives don't see them at home. They have mistresses outside. The Bible is telling us that before such people are involved in ministry, these things must be checked. Not after. Do you understand? Before we even bring them in, let's make sure that those things are safe. Now, some churches have developed a means of dealing with it. One of the means of dealing with it is they put a number of years. If you have been a believer for so number of years, then we can consider you for ministerial appointment. Is that a scriptural basis? Would that be a scriptural basis? I don't think so. But there is some human wisdom to it. What's the human wisdom now? We expect that if you have stayed some years in church, we expect to see those things. But it is not every time we see it. We've seen people who have been born again for 20 years, who are still abusing their husbands, who are still beating their wives, who are still cheating people, who are still having girlfriends or boyfriends outside. So good reputation. You will notice that this good report is placed before they even talk of full of the Spirit. If you were truly full of the Spirit, would you be of good report? So let people scale that on, then we now come to the fullness of the Spirit. When you say someone is full of the Spirit, what does it mean in real terms? Huh? There is no space. He's so full that the whole of him is what? The Spirit. There's no space for an evil spirit. There's no space for the devil. From the top to the bottom, if it was a container, from the top to the bottom, is what? Full of the Holy Spirit. What are the things that can make a person to be full of the Holy Spirit? Eh? Personal study of the Word of God. Intimacy with who? With the Holy Spirit, yes. What else? Prayer. Eh? Okay, a life without sin, being far away. So you understand what we're talking about now. So even though the Bible says full of the Spirit, what we are saying is, this brother, he hates sin. He is controlled by the Holy Spirit. He's not a special person. It's you and I he's talking about. Do you understand that? He's not talking about Paul or Timothy. He's talking about the brother that nobody has a name to because God wants to use him in ministry. Remember, I think the last week we read Ephesians 4. What the job of the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, and so on is to do what? Is to prepare people for ministry. That's what we're doing here now. It's not optional. We're not making, it's not an option for you. It's mandatory that you are going to be involved in serving Christ, which is what ministry is. And if you are going to be involved in serving Christ, then you must be of good report. You must make sure, you know, sometimes they will call you a fool, they will call you a cheat. Something happened last week. We took the Honda for AC repairs. When we got there, the man who was working on the thing, one old papa, walk. After a while, he said, the day they born you, he said, God don't create anybody. He said, the day when they create you, God don't create anybody. I was thinking, what does he say? He said, then he came back again and said, the day they create you, they do special work. I was wondering what he was saying. Then they discovered that the AC was not cooling, so we put the AC back. When we took it back, again, we got into conversation, and I was just asking some questions, and the guy said to me, he said, was I in government? I said, were you in government? I said, no. I said, which government? He said, this, like, River State government. Were you in government? I said, no, I was never in government. He said, eh? He said, so, what was your job? What were you doing? He said, I'm just fooling, what was I doing? He said, okay, what are you doing now? I said, I'm a pastor. He said, oh, no wonder. No wonder. I said, what does this man say? So, that was all he was trying to say, that the day you were born, that you had a different kind of character. I found it humbling because I wouldn't say that about myself. That's the truth. It was humbling for me. But the point I'm trying to make is, you don't know who you are going to come in contact with. You wouldn't make one statement. They will ask from somebody that, who is that fellow? Then they tell you about that person. You say, ah, no wonder. So it is true that there are people like this. It's possible. When we went to the States in 2005, I told my wife something. I said, I know that Americans have been dealing with all kinds of people called Christians. That we have to make sure that for the first time in their lives, they come in contact with a Christian. And I said to my wife, we have to make sure, whatever it takes. Because what are we trying to do now? Who knows what we're trying to do? Eh? We're trying to glorify God. We're trying to glorify God. We're not glorifying self. It's God. We don't want to bring disrepute to the name of God. A good report brings good report to who now? To God. Not to us. It is glory be to God. Oh, this brother is a prayer warrior. Glory be to God. Is this AC working? Anyway, let's just stay as we are, please. Praise the name of the Lord. So we are talking about somebody, when we say full of the Spirit, we are talking of someone who is a student of the Bible, somebody who is intimate with the Holy Spirit, somebody who is given to prayer, somebody whose life doesn't welcome sin. Sin is kept at a distance. Remember what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, I think verse 9 or so. It says, thou hast loved righteousness and hast hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, has what? Has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Full of the Spirit. And then what else is he full of? Wisdom. Again, we use the same benchmark. If somebody is full of wisdom, what does it mean? There is no foolishness in him. If we say somebody is full of wisdom, what do we expect? What are the ingredients that will make him to be full of wisdom? The knowledge of God. Why do you say the knowledge of God? Yes, but there's a scripture that supports what you just said. The knowledge of God is the beginning of... There's even one that says the knowledge of God is not wisdom. The Bible says to depart from iniquity is understanding. So when we say somebody is full of wisdom, we are talking of somebody who doesn't dance around sin. Do you understand that? Somebody who does not play with injustice, whether people see you or not. When you speak in your family meeting, they will insult you. They say, go away. They follow our tradition. Just the come talk. Is that a good report?
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
Is that a good report I'm asking now?
Yes.
That's a good report as far as we are concerned. I want to hear that kind of report. They say, don't mind. I don't know what kind of church person you be. I have one brother in your church. There's nothing we say in the family that he agrees. Every time he will talk, he will just bring the Bible. Is it Bible we want to eat? We are telling him that we should take palm oil to the shrine. He's telling us the word of God. What? As a pastor, will you be happy?
Yes.
That's the kind of report you want to get. Full of wisdom. What else? Acts chapter 6. Are we back to Acts chapter 6? Verse 3. What did he say now? Good report, full of spirit, full of wisdom. Let somebody read the King James for me, please. Of verse 3. King James of verse 3. Salvation is sleeping or what? Acts 6 verse 3.
Therefore, brethren, take out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, that we may appoint over this people.
Okay, go to verse 5.
And the saying is the hope and the chose thing, a man full of faith.
A man full of faith.
And the Holy Spirit.
We've already spoken about full of the Holy Spirit now. If a man is full of faith, again, going by what we've discussed, what does it mean? There is no unbelief in him. What is faith? What is faith? Absolute trust in God. What else? Dependency on God. What else? Conviction about who God says he is. Right? Why is this important in ministry? Without being full of faith, you can put your trust in something else. Good answer. Put your trust in what else? In something else like what? Signs. Yourself, your ability, your money. Praise the name of the Lord. Did you follow that? Is ministry a work of faith? So you must have faith to do ministry. Without faith, you can't do ministry. You can't do ministry. To sing to the glory of God, you require what? To sing to the glory of man, do you require faith? What do you need? A good voice. What else do you need? Expert keyboard player. What else do you need? I didn't hear you, George. You need money, you need good microphone. What else do you need? You need a good promoter. You know, you need a good promoter, a good distribution company. But if you are going to be involved in ministry, you must be of good report. You must be full of the Spirit. You must be full of wisdom. You must be full of faith. Foundational. Now, let's bring it to practical terms. In the light of what we've discussed, can we say that many of the people who claim to be music ministers are fully music ministers? Especially, I see a lot of names splashed on these flexes all over the city. And they have strange names. Jazz B or something. I don't know what people call them. Maybe you know those names. But I see some strange names. Sister B, Sister C, Sister D, something Jesus. I see all kinds of names. And sometimes I sit back in the light of the Word of God. What are we looking at now? The Word of God on ministry. When I wake in light of the Word of God, I see that we have a problem. These people may have started out right, but what happened after a while? They took a wrong turn. Some of them were quickly put into ministry as new converts. I heard one time that one juju musician, is he Shin or Peters or something, had become born again. And one man of God said, when he heard that, he said, because this a pastor was excited that Shin or Peters was in his church, and was excited that, oh, he came to that church, he came there. And this other pastor said, come, that fellow is still fresh-ish. You need to remove his case. You need to open him up and remove the entrails and throw them away. And then put him on fire to dry, to preserve. Many people just transmute from worldliness, run into church, and maintain worldliness. So I was a singer. Then I got born again. The pastor just said, this brother is in our church. Come, bro. Lead praise and worship for us. Can. Is that ministering to God? That's just singing. There's no ministry. They're just singing. I don't want to mention names, but you know what I'm talking about. Many of these people who say they are gospel artists, especially the known names, you see their lifestyle. If you put these things now, of good report, I heard there's one who has fathered several children. Is that a good report? But it says he's a gospel artist. He's a gospel. What gospel is? Is it preaching? Do you see why the church has come into disrepute? People don't sing to minister to God. What do they sing for? For profit. Oh, a young brother came to me some years, many years back. And I said, what are you doing? I said, well, he's singing. I said, and what kind of music? He said, well, you know that the problem he discovered, that he was singing songs that would lift people up in the church. But the people who did not buy the CD are the church people. They are the worst people. They didn't buy anything. So he decided that he will write songs that will bless other people. I was looking at the credit. Let me ask you a question. Who do we minister to in songs? Eh? Does it matter that you don't like it? I don't understand what people are talking about. I remember one time, those of you used to do evangelism, in the vehicle that we're doing evangelism, as we're going, somebody was now mentioning to someone who used to lead worship here, that so, you should find something to do now in this line of worship. Like, for example, do you go to birthday functions and these two? I said to the young fellow, I said, you better wipe out what they are telling you. He didn't listen. Because before you know what's happening, you are out there singing for unbelievers. You say you are ministering to bring them to Christ. You don't bring anybody to Christ. Many of these American pop stars, if you read their story, where did they start from? Did anybody preach salvation to them? No. Were they of good report? No. Full of the Holy Spirit? No. Wisdom? No. Faith? Definitely not. Because they went the way of money. They traveled in a different direction. If you look at our bishops today, you can see that we have contravened God's word to us on bishops. 1 Timothy chapter 3, let's quickly go there now and sit down there a bit. In the light of what we studied in Acts chapter 6, in verse 7 of Acts chapter 6, you remember that The Bible says that the church, what happened to the church now? There was increase. And many of the priests of Judaism became converts to Christianity as a result of what now? As a result of effective ministry. Because you had the apostles who were involved in prayer and the word, and then you had the deacons who were involved in serving tables. So things were happening. And as the numbers grew, these people were able to do what they were supposed to do. So let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and see where we can stop, because we're going to stop very soon now. This saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to be an overseer, he desires a noble work. An overseer, therefore, must be above what? Reproach. Must be above reproach. Must be above reproach. Is it the same thing as good reputation? Is it the same thing as applies to an ordinary believer? Because the bishop is first and foremost a believer. Do you understand? There are foundational things that you must have. You must have good report, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, full of faith. That's foundational. Every believer must have that. Because every believer must be involved in ministry. For example, how do you receive a word from God without faith? You know, it's only by faith that you can say, I received this from God, and then you speak out. You speak for. Okay. Then it goes on. The husband of one wife. Can we permit a man who has been married and divorced and remarried to aspire or attain to the office of bishop or overseer? Huh? We can't. Why? The Bible says husband of one. If his wife died and he remarried, can we ordain him as a bishop? Yes. Provided, of course, that the circumstance of the death of the wife is not entangled in it.
Many things before full of the Holy Spirit, meaning what? Absence of any other. When it's prophesying, you know that this is the Spirit of God. Full of wisdom, meaning what? Empty of knowledge. It says, full of faith, meaning what? Let's study testimony to spirit. Then see what God wants us to do. Some of people speak of ministry as well as just an overseer, who is just thinking, so this is more than that. But these are people who have been faced. You get it wrong there. And what happened to the paralytic? Isn't he still living quiet? The pastor doesn't know. The pastor knows. He says the only one that brings down the other. That's where he's bringing anointing. God forbid that I'm in that kind of way. Anointing is bringing down. It's important that we study this. Please, we want to do an academic study. Study the one who's doing it. I recall Psalm 139. Test me, O Lord. Prove me, Lord. Look at me and whatever it is that is in me that you don't like, change it. Transform our lives, Almighty Never Last. Take us to the men and women who are good report with you. Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your wisdom. And let us be full of faith. So full that there will be no space for any other thing to the glory of your name. Thank you, Everlasting Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed.